the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Our reading this morning is continuing in Acts, so we're at Acts 4. If you picked up one of the green Bibles on your way in, then it is on page 1034. The words are on the screen. It's Acts 4, verses 1 to 31. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for our freedom to meet together and study it together. We pray for Andrew now as he comes to speak to us. Thank you for the preparation that he's done. Thank you that the words you have given him. And please open our hearts and minds and break down any barriers that we have put up to hearing more from you this morning. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Are you there? Good morning, everyone. That's a bit more like it. Trust me, you're going to need those voices a little bit later on. My name is Andrew, and it's my privilege just to kind of teach on some of the things that that passage that Joe read for us talks about. This week marked the 80th anniversary of D-Day. It was the largest amphibious invasion in history. But it was a couple of accounts from veterans that have challenged me this week. Soldier Bob Piper said, "We just had to do what we could and hope that God would look after us." And then there was RAF man John Haddock recalled a mid-air firefight. At the time, he said to himself, "This is so intense that we can't get out of it." And I said a prayer and we got through. These young men, in the midst of the terrors of warfare, didn't rely on themselves, but prayed to God. This challenged me. In those moments, Bob and John knew for themselves what is true of us all the time, that we have to rely on God. Any sense of self-sufficiency that we might have is actually self-delusion. It's so easy not to pray. The excuses I've told myself just this week include, "I don't need God's help today, I've got this. I'm too busy today, it's all right, God already knows anyway. I can just pretend I've not actually messed up, I'll just dodge God on that." I wonder if any of that might sound familiar to you. But we mustn't listen to those lies. It's so easy not to pray, but life gets so much harder when we don't. We miss out on God's generosity, his power, his forgiveness, his comfort, his direction. We must pray. We finish our teaching series today. We followed how Pentecost propelled the early church into wholehearted mission. The wind, flames, and languages brought by the Holy Spirit fulfilled ancient promises and proclaimed Jesus' resurrection and reign. That same Holy Spirit filled and gifted this community of believers. And as we've just read, this community then faced persecution. Today's passage shows us that prayer makes the ordinary extraordinary. By prayer, ordinary fishermen healed the lame, taught crowds, and persevered despite threats to their safety. Prayer gave the ordinary Christians in Jerusalem extraordinary boldness in sharing their faith. It begs the question, what will happen when ordinary people like us pray? Prayer makes the ordinary extraordinary. My time with you this morning is going to be a little bit different. In the first half, I will be speaking on the passage. We'll be seeing how the power of prayer is demonstrated in Acts 4. Then in the second half of my time with you, I want us to pray in the here and now by learning what people of prayer we can be by following in the footsteps of that early church. So let's begin with the power of prayer. One of my all-time heroes is Corrie ten Boom. In many ways, the very definition of an ordinary Dutch woman. But if you know her story, you'll know that her and her family did extraordinary things during the war in hiding Jews from Nazi oppression. Corrie once said this: "The wonderful thing about prayer is that you leave a world of not being able to do something and enter God's realm where everything is possible. He specializes in the impossible. I think Peter and John would fully agree. Everything about Acts 4, whether we realize it or not, is to do with prayer. We know that Peter and John, the apostles, were part of this community that we read about in Acts 2 that devoted themselves to prayer. And it's this culture of prayer that brought Peter and John to the temple in the first place. They were there to pray. Acts 4 begins with a commotion caused because Peter has been healing and he's been preaching to the onlookers all within the temple courts. They knew that their very presence, let alone their ministry, would be a provocative act within the temple. We read in verse 2 that when the temple authorities investigated, they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Now, most of the religious elites who ran the temple were Sadducees, a sect who didn't believe in resurrection, so clearly wouldn't be welcoming teaching about resurrection. Plus, look at verse 6. I wonder if you recognise a couple of these names, Annas and Caiaphas. These names were also at Jesus' trial only a few weeks before. They considered this movement to be dangerous. In the words of John Stott, the Sadducees thus saw the apostles as agitators and heretics. But prayer makes the ordinary extraordinary. By prayer, Peter and John had the audacity, the bravery, to even show their faces at the temple and preach resurrection there. Now think about this, it was quite a personal transformation, particularly for Peter. Let's not forget, only a few weeks before, in round about the same place, Peter had denied Jesus, not preached, denied Jesus three times. And it's because of prayer that their efforts here were fruitful. Thousands of people received Jesus there and then, even though they knew that that might get them in trouble as well. Put simply, prayer works. Archbishop William Temple once said, "When I pray, coincidences happen, and when I don't, they don't." Once, when I was a student, I was at home and I was praying, and I prayed, "Lord, may I be a beacon of truth." I thought that was quite a good prayer, quite a bold prayer, but I didn't really know what that might look like. But not 5 minutes later, there was a knock on my door and a pair of Jehovah's Witnesses on my doorstep. Let's just say they got more than they bargained for. I worry that sometimes we treat prayer rather too tamely. Either we're so used to it that we don't really remember its power or its how just incredible it is, or we pray too small because we're worried about being disappointed. But prayer works, not always in the way we want or expect, but it is powerful. One way I found to pray bigger prayers is by adding the words "so that." For example, when we pray, "Lord, give me the confidence to share my faith with my colleague," add, "so that they might come to embrace you for themselves, so that they can be forgiven and have everlasting life, so that you might be glorified." Let's pray bigger and deeper prayers. And when we pray for opportunities to share our faith, don't be surprised if they come. It likely won't be comfortable. I doubt Peter and John were comfortable in Acts 4, but it could be impactful. As the story continues, the trial began the following day. The Sanhedrin began to question them, "By what power or what name do you do this?" As in, heal the man. Now, if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, I imagine you've been asked questions, ranging from the curious to the combative. It can be tricky, can't it? But we shouldn't panic. Let's see how Peter responds to his questions. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, has no hesitation. If we look at verse 10, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. And let's also look at verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Peter is clear. He's compelling. Jesus is the only power behind this healing. It's the same Jesus that the Sanhedrin, who Peter's talking to, crucified. And it is this Jesus is the only way for them to be saved. But the hero here isn't Peter, but the Holy Spirit that filled him. The same Holy Spirit that lives in each of us if we've embraced the Lord Jesus. As Jesus promised in Luke 12, when you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. As the Sanhedrin noted, Peter and John were unschooled, ordinary men. It's not an insult, that's just a fact. They were fishermen. We don't need to be anything or anyone special when we've got the Holy Spirit in us carrying the conversation. When you face those conversations and those questions, don't panic, but pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit will give you the words. I know there's been a number of conversations where I've had that split second moment where I've just been able to pray help before going into the conversation. Prayer transforms the ordinary into the extraordinary. The trial continues with the Sanhedrin forbidding anyone speaking in the name of Jesus, with fierce consequences for anyone who does. Undeterred, Peter and John respond in verse 20, we cannot help but speaking about what we've seen and heard about Jesus. So they got a warning, but next time they might not be so lucky. They and their friends could die. In fact, in the chapters that are to come, some would. Peter and John immediately returned to the community of believers with updates of all that had happened to them. And when they, the community of believers, heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. It was like a reflex response, wasn't it? Peter and John returned. They said all of the things that had happened. They said that they'd been banned from talking about Jesus. So their reflex response was to pray. I wonder, when we hear about the troubles that someone close to us is facing, what do we do? What's our reflex response? I know that I'm quick to talk, quick to solve. I think I need to be quicker to pray. Praying is how Christians take problems seriously. And prayer is also something that believers, we, are meant to do together. They raise their voices together in prayer to God. Well, of course, individual and private prayer is important, and Jesus talks about this in Matthew 6. Prayer is also something we do together. It not only draws us closer to God, but closer to one another. We're going to unpack and pray the rest of the prayer shortly, but let's just have a look in verse 31 of the impact of this prayer. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. When we look into Acts 5, we see that the believers do indeed speak boldly. They even return to the temple of all places to preach and perform miracles. And their prayers were fruitful. The church continued to grow. If we want our church, this community of people, Belmont, to be one of boldness, one of fruitful ministry, we need to be a church which prays. Prayer makes the ordinary extraordinary. We're now going to consider the people praying, the prayerful people. Whilst I was having dinner with a friend in town, overlooking the high street, a bus like this, was pulled up every half an hour or so. "Try praying," it says. I think we should take the hint. We learn to pray by praying. If you've never done it, or you're a bit out of practice, give it a go. In many ways, it's like a conversation you have with anyone else. It's just with God. And for the rest of our time with me, we're going to be learning from our brothers and sisters in first century Jerusalem by using their prayer to shape our time of prayer here and now. Like them, we will need to raise our voices together. And I know this could be daunting in a big church like this, but we'll be praying in a few different ways, so I'm hoping there'll be something that you do feel comfortable with, but feel free just to kind of observe if that's what you prefer to do. So, their prayer began like this. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them, declaring who God is, that he is sovereign Lord. He's in control. That he created and sustains everything. Prayer is only powerful because of who we pray to. So it's good to start there. If you wouldn't mind, and if you're able, would you like to stand? To begin our time of praying, would a few people pray out loud so we can all hear some names of God or some praises to God? God with us. Amen. Please feel free to take a seat for another moment. Prayer is powerful because of who we pray to. God with us, Emmanuel, our anchor, our rock. The prayer of the early church continues. "You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one." Using the words of Psalm 2, they lifted to God the persecution that they were facing. And today, nations and rulers still rage and plot against Christ by persecuting his church. So we're now going to pray for the persecuted church. I'm going to lead us in prayer for the four countries with the most extreme persecution, according to Open Doors, and I will pray prayers that they recommend. When I say, "Hallowed be your name," please reply out loud with, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." Lord, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Heavenly Father, our hearts ache as we hear about the extreme dangers facing our family in North Korea. May each and every believer feel your tender, loving care and be strengthened with your power to persevere with the hope of Jesus firmly in their hearts. We also pray for Kim Jong-un, soften his heart and show him a better way to lead. Lord, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Dear God, thank you for the bravery of believers in Somalia. May they feel the warmth and joy of your presence. Encourage their hearts and provide ways for them to meet and share safely with other believers. Soften the hearts of those who persecute your people. Show them that you are Lord. Lord, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Father God, we lift up our Libyan brothers and sisters who live under constant risk just because they worship you. Please comfort those who have lost loved ones, who have been kicked out of their families. Please show your face and mercy to believers who have been detained and face an enormous cost for their faith. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Heavenly Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Eritrea. They have been so faithful for so long, despite decades of unceasing risk and violence. We pray especially for those believers who are in prison. Be with them and comfort them. We boldly ask for a change in Eritrea, that you would change the hearts of the authorities who target your people. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Amen. The prayer in Acts 4 continues with verse 27. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. The early Christians were specific about the issues that faced them. They named names. In these verses, they're praying about those in power, both religious and political authorities. You might be aware that we're in a time of political change and also hardship in our community. So we will now pray for various leaders. Again, if you're able, would you be able to stand? If you're in this block over there, very simply put, you're closest out of all of us to where Westminster is. Could you please pray for national politics, for the general election, and also particularly for the candidates for this constituency of Exeter? Their names are on the screen. This middle block, kind of at the heart of us all, kind of where we gather, could you pray for Christian leaders, Belmont's leaders and volunteers, the leaders of other churches and Christians of influence? And this over here, this block, can you pray for our local community leaders, councils, businesses, public services? In this time, we're going to pray just for a couple of minutes, by yourself, but out loud. You can be fairly quiet. Pray for these people, even if it's just their names. So yeah, for the next 2 minutes, please do pray for all of these people. Amen. Feel free to take your seats again. The next bit of the prayer, verse 29, says this. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. We need to be prepared to be the answer to our own prayers in the faith that God will equip us. We're now going to have a time of silent individual prayer. Use this time to ask God for boldness in sharing your faith in your circumstance, but also take the time to wait and listen. Where does God want you to go and speak? So in a time of silence for the next 3 minutes, which might feel long, but hang in there. The silence is good. Let's pray. Amen. And finally, they prayed, "Stretch out your hand to heal and to perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." It is God who acts. If we all don't root our church's ministries in prayer, whether we're practically involved in them or not, what do we expect to happen on our own efforts alone? We need God to stretch out his hand. I'm hoping that on your way in, you were given a piece of paper. If not, you may be someone near you. On it are some recent prayer points from one of Belmont's ministries. In this final bit of time, either alone or in twos or threes, please pray for the work of the church. If you are comfortable, it'd be great if you could pray out loud, but and I encourage you to do that, but do pray in silence if you absolutely prefer. So yeah, we can spend about 2 minutes doing this. Amen. I mentioned earlier that if we want to be a church of boldness, a fruitful church, we need to be a church which prays. Prayer makes the ordinary extraordinary. So let's keep it up. You've kind of observed what has happened here and you've been like, what on earth is that? How on earth do I pray? Like this is really new to me. Or perhaps you're in just a bit of a rut and you've kind of not prayed for a while and you're just not finding a way back into it. Can I encourage you to reach out to a home group leader or a friend or the church office? There are loads of resources, books, podcasts, apps, all kinds of different formats which you might find helpful in kind of growing in your prayer life. Before I hand over to the band, I just want to say that it's time for PRP, once the music begins, to head out to your group. PRP, so if you're in years 9, because we've moved up now, years 9 to 13, you can talk more about how you might want to grow in prayer and how you can be extraordinary where you are. So as we come to our time of song worship, let me pray for us. Almighty God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the example of our brothers and sisters that went before us. If it wasn't for their prayerfulness and the Holy Spirit working through them, there we would not be here today. Lord, we give you thanks. Lord, I pray that this week we will grow deeper in our prayer life. I pray that we would want to spend that time with you. But Lord, we know that we don't operate in a vacuum. We know that when we step out for you, there are forces that don't like that. So Lord, I pray against the lies that we cannot pray today. We don't need to pray today. Lord, I pray that we will see our need for you in our lives. So Lord, we praise you, we thank you, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.
If you're able, would you stand as we...